Welcome to the Avianca Group's Q2 2025 performance call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. A question-and-answer session will follow the formal presentation. If anyone should require operator assistance during the conference, please press star zero on your telephone keypad. Please note this conference is being recorded. I will now turn the conference over to your host, Maria Ricardo, Head of Investor Relations. You may begin.
Thanks, Operator. Good morning, and thank you for joining us today. Our speakers for today are Adrian Neuhauser, CEO of Abra Group; Federico Pedreira, Avianca's Chief Executive Officer; and Nicolas Alvear, Avianca's Chief Financial Officer. We'll be joined for the Q&A session by Manuel Irarrázaval, Chief Financial Officer of Abra Group; Jorge Marín, Group's Financial Controller; and Gabriel Oliva, Avianca's Chief Operating Officer. Financial statements for the period ended June 30, 2025, and the presentation that we will show you today are available at our investor site. Today's conference call is being broadcast, and the replay will be available at the same site shortly after the end of the call. Before we proceed, I would like to remind you that during this call, management will make statements or remarks that may be forward-looking statements and may include, but are not limited to, financial projections or other statements of the company's plans, objectives, expectations, or intentions. These matters involve certain risks and uncertainties that could cause results to differ materially from those presented or projected or suggested. Today, we will start our call with an overview of the state of the business, and then we will continue with our second quarter 2025 operational financial performance. As always, our prepared comments will be followed by a question-and-answer session. With that, let me turn the call over to Adrian.
Thank you, Maria. Hi, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. If you'll turn to slide three, we'll get started. For context, I'll remind you that Q2 is seasonally Avianca's weakest quarter. We're very proud to deliver the quarter that we're going to take you through now. I'll do a quick summary on this slide, and then I'll hand it over to Fred for details. If you look at point one, our EBITDA this quarter reached $355 million. It's a 61% year-on-year increase. It's a 25.5% margin. It's the highest ever absolute number EBITDA and margin percentage for a comparable quarter. Our PRASK was $0.057, which is a small reduction year-on-year. Our yield was nearly flat year-on-year on an almost 11% stage length increase. Our load factor is improving sequentially from the first quarter. You'll recall, those of you that joined our first quarter call, that we expected that trend to continue into the year as the capacity we deployed was absorbed. Our CASK ex-fuel reflected our continuing cost discipline, increasing by only $0.012 and remaining below $0.04. We generated $163 million of cash. We reached about $1.35 billion in liquidity at the end of the year. At the end of the quarter, that's 24% of our LTM revenue, and that includes a $200 million undrawn revolving credit facility. Importantly, we've crossed the 3x threshold, so our net leverage is now 2.8x, decreasing nearly half a turn from the prior quarter. How are we achieving all this? Two very important points. One, we've continued to optimize our network. You'll remember that we planned last year and then executed into this year a continuous reduction in capacity in Colombia and redeployment of that capacity internationally. You can see that in the last bullet under two. Our capacity in domestic Colombia decreased by over 14% year-on-year. That capacity, together with the incremental capacity that's come in, is reflected in the increased stage length as we've deployed it into international routes. We launched six new international routes, so we've got 172 routes now to 83 destinations, and we've got three more announced for the second half of the year. That backdrop, where we are more aligned with, we are aligning supply and demand better in the markets where we play, is giving us more balance and helping drive profitability. Secondly, the business units. The business units are all performing very, very well. LifeMiles generated cash EBITDA of $56 million from third parties. That's an over 40% increase year-on-year. And that's driven largely by redemptions in Avianca, which is a very healthy backdrop for us, and by robust growth of our third-party billings. Cargo revenue was up 15% year-on-year to $173 million, and we've continued our refleeting program there. We've now added our second P2F freighter. That was after the close of the quarter, so we've now got eight A330 freighters, which is making our operation a lot simpler than the fleet complexity we had before. And while most importantly continues to perform very, very solidly, contributed $32 million of EBITDA to us in Q2. So with that, I'll turn it over to Fred to share more details.
Thank you, Adrian. So page four, the slides. So in the second quarter, we grew about 14% SKAs. However, our cycles remained flat on a year-to-year basis. Exactly, they went up by 0.3%. That growth in capacity was driven by two things. One, the densification of 787 fleets, that we explained in one of the latest calls, but also that redeployment of capacity that Adrian was mentioning from the domestic to the international increased our stage lengths by 11% on a year-to-year basis. Right? Now, how does our network looks like with this effort of moving this capacity from domestic to international and the effort of optimizing the network as a whole? And please move to page five. All right? What we've seen is that today we operate our most extensive network in our history with 172 routes, 13% above last year, and 83 destinations. And in particular, in second quarter, we open new routes like Bogota to Dallas or Guatemala to Miami, but also new destinations and like Cordoba in Argentina. Also, as you might recall, we also had open new destinations in the first quarter, like Tampa and Florida, that continued to perform very well. This has allowed us not only to offer new services and new destinations to our customers, but to overall improve the service pattern of our network. For the second half of the year, we already announced that we are opening three new routes, with two new destinations, so Bogota-Monterrey, Mexico, Bogota-Belen, Brazil, and one new route from Guayaquil to Miami. That translates into a very different ASK location per region compared to last year, where naturally we've seen domestic Colombia go down from almost 20% of our capacity to 15%, and an increase in capacity in both in Europe and South America. Right? If we can move to the next one, please. And this translates into the following in terms of revenue. One, as Adrian was saying, we were very disciplined in terms of pricing. Our yield remained flat on a year-to-year basis. Right? We continue to see an improvement in our load factors in the second quarter. The overall load factor was 78.5, but for instance, June, we're already above 80%, and we will continue to see that in the third quarter. That said, our PRASK had a drop of 5% on a year-to-year basis. However, if you consider that those 11% of increased stage lengths, actually our PRASK remained flat on second quarter versus second quarter last year. Another important point to mention on the revenue side, and if you can move to the next slide, is that we opened sales for our new business class routes. We mentioned that in the last call. So starting September, all our international service out of Bogota, Medellin, and El Salvador, we will have available the narrow-body business class service within the Americas. As you might recall, we start with a pilot last year, about exactly a year ago. We had it was very well received by our customers. we increased a phase two in December, and now, based on those results, we're extending for all international routes out of these three stations. And to talk about our CASK, Nico.
Thank you, Fred. Good morning, everyone. I'm on page 8 of the presentation. Our CASK X for the quarter was 3.9 cents, up 1.2% year over year, and up 6.6% when adjusting for this year's higher stage length. We are proud of our team's ability to contain unit costs in the face of inflationary pressure, higher network costs from operating more capacity in international stations, and our efforts to improve our premium product and our customer value proposition. Fuel CASK for the quarter decreased 19.5% year over year, driven by lower fuel prices and more efficient gallon consumption per ASK, which in turn is 5% lower year over year. Overall, total unit cost decreased 5.8% year over year, or 1% when considering higher stage length.
And now talking about our operation in slide 9, so we're very proud to say that our operational performance improved in spite of all the challenges that we face, as you know, in our main airport, Bogota. So we closed the quarter with an OTP of 84.5 and a scheduled completion of 98.6. Right? Also, our mishandled baggage, they remain at the say world-class level at 1.6 per 1,000 passengers. Right? Now, talking about our business units, if we can move to the next slide. As Adrian mentioned, we had a very good performance from our business units. Now, particularly cargo, we saw an increase in revenues of 15.5%. You might remember that we were cautious in the last call about demand, but we've seen a very resilient demand in the second quarter for cargo. And two things that were mentioned. One is we're continuing that process of optimizing our refleeting. You know, last year, we stopped flying the A300s and 767s when we received a first P2F A330. And in July this year, we started operating our second P2F A330. Right? Also worth mentioning is we closed a commercial agreement with Amazon Air Cargo, including a daily operation between Bogota and Miami that would allow us to have more capacity to between Bogota and Miami. And with that, the other business units that performed very well was LifeMiles.
Yep. On page 11, you'll note that LifeMiles continued to deliver an outstanding performance this quarter. Third-party gross billings grew 26.9% year-over-year on the back of strong performance of our co-branded credit card portfolio and member direct sales. Cash EBITDA for the quarter reached $56 million, growing 43.8% versus last year. And importantly, redemptions in Avianca reached 77% of total miles redeemed in the quarter, which is about 13 percentage points higher versus last year. As we've highlighted in the past, these results underscore the high engagement of our members with the program as we continue to build brand loyalty among our passengers. Moving on to page 12, you can see that we generated $355 million of EBITDAR in the quarter, up 60.6% versus last year, at a margin of 25.5%, which is 67 bips higher than last year. This translated into EBIT of $133 million at an operating margin of 9.5%. As Adrian mentioned at the beginning of the call, these results are record-setting, and we are proud of posting them in our seasonally weakest quarter of the year. On the right-hand side of the slide, looking at our performance over the last 12 months, you can see we generated an EBITDAR margin of 26% and an operating margin of 13%. Looking at cash flow in the following slide, we generated $163 million in the quarter. A couple of highlights to consider. First, you can see we generated $129 million from working capital, mainly because this quarter we built air traffic liability. Sales were higher than flown revenue heading into the high season, and we also saw some sequential lengthening of our booking curve. We also had a few timing benefits, some $15 million in overhaul CapEx that will be incurred in the second half of the year due to higher turnaround times, and another $20 million in corporate interest expense that was prepaid as part of last quarter's bond refinancing process. Taking into account our $200 million undrawn committed revolver, our total liquidity at the end of the quarter was $1.35 billion, equivalent to 24% of last 12-month revenues. Moving on to slide 14, we finished the quarter with net leverage of 2.8 times EBITDA, decreasing sequentially from 3.2 times last quarter. Last 12 months, EBITDA increased sequentially, as we saw in the previous slide, and our net debt decreased primarily because of cash flow generation and lease amortizations that more than offset a slight increase in gross debt, mostly because of PDP financings and the financing of two A330 freighters under long-term leases. We are really proud to continue heading in the right direction in terms of maintaining a healthy balance sheet and overall capital structure. And with that said, I'll turn it over to Adrian to deliver key takeaways before moving on to Q&A.
Thank you, Nico. So key takeaways, again, just to highlight what we had said. Robust financial results, our highest ever second quarter EBITDA, both on a margin basis and on absolute numbers. Net leverage, we're very proud of, again, 2.8 times, dropping from 3.2, and solid cash generation, taking our liquidity in nearly $1.4 billion. The network optimization is a key part of this. It's been the critical move in getting capacity into the right place, but also getting it out of the wrong places. As you know, in this industry, everything is correlated, so when you take out capacity, you drive and align it more with supply, you drive yields, you drive load factors, so RASC gets the double benefit of that. But you also then create steeper pricing curves, and that drives the booking curve and creates working capital. So all of that has been going in the right direction for us. And finally, the business units all contributing solidly and delivering outstanding results. So with that, again, very, very proud of the quarter we're delivering. We'll open it up to you for questions.
Certainly. At this time, we will be conducting a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the question queue. You may press star 2 if you would like to remove yourself from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys. Please hold while we poll for questions. Your first question for today is from Mike Linenberg with Deutsche Bank.
Oh, hey, good morning. Adrian, Fred, Nico, Maria. Nice job this quarter. As we think about, you know, exit rate 2025, where you think your leverage will be, net debt to EBITDA, and if you could just give us a sense of what full-year CapEx, what the plans are.
Yeah, absolutely, Mike. Thank you. Thank you for the question. So we finished with the quarter at 2.8 times, and we've mentioned in the past that our target is to be somewhere below 2.5. We mm-hmm. think this quarter, if we continue performing as we are going to be probably somewhere between 2.6 and 2.7. And
okay.
With respect to CapEx, remember that, you know, over 80% of our CapEx is engine overhaul, and we are trending at a run rate for the full year of somewhere around $450 million plus.
Okay, that's good. Just the second question, I guess this is probably to, Fred or Adrian. Your domestic Colombia, what was your share in the June quarter this year versus a year ago? And what do you think is the optimal domestic market share for Avianca?
We don't think about there's an optimal market share. I think that we'll look in terms of, you know, what is the most, you know, profitable network that we can operate. What we saw effectively, if you compare 1 year versus the other, our market share slightly dropped in Colombia. We saw effectively that overall Today we are about 50%, give or take, of the entire system. No?
Mm-hmm.
But it's a very different balance between Bogota and outside of Bogota, because you know in Bogota, you know, we remain more stable. Outside of Bogota, as you know, there are new players that have increased operation, and as there's no slots in Bogota, they've basically deployed the capacity outside of Bogota. But you know, bottom line, yes, we saw a drop on a year-to-year basis that was driven by that ex-Bogota operation. All right. But just to remind you, the ex-Bogota operation is about 23-24% of total capacity.
Mm-hmm.
We're focused on, you know, optimizing the network within Bogota.
Yeah, and Mike, a different way to think about it, to complement what Fred said, is, you know, we have lost no slots in Bogota, so we retain our slots here in Bogota. We've increased our share in Medellin. Medellin's behaving like a slot-controlled airport now, so we've... You know, we're staking out kind of our strategic position there, and you know, once we have these beachheads, then the way we think about it is, there's not much value to us oversupplying ourselves, right? So at that point, we basically regulate capacity to what we think matches market demand, and over time, we can increase the capacity we deploy. But fighting for market share by overflying ourselves when we've protected the strategic slot positions just doesn't seem like an accretive thing to do.
Yeah, no, agreed 100%. And if I could just squeeze in one more, I know in the past calls, you know, Fred, you've given us a nice overview of sort of strengths and weaknesses. And I'm particularly focused in some of the routes, you know, where we're seeing some weakness into the U.S., and I think some of it in response to some of the changes in the administration's immigration policies. And so we've heard about weakness, say, from Mexico to the U.S., but also Central America to the U.S., and the fact that, you know, when I look at some of the new route announcements, you know, you're sort of leaning into your Central American franchise. You know, this release, you have Managua to Fort Lauderdale or Salvador to San Salvador to Chicago, and Miami or Guatemala, Miami. And I'm curious if you're seeing some softness there in some of those new markets. I realize they're just the minority of some of the things that you're doing. So if you could give us kind of a view on what you're seeing regionally and whether or not your flows are being impacted by some of the changes that are going on in the U.S. Thanks for taking my questions.
Sure. Listen, didn't change a lot from the last time we spoke.
Mm-hmm.
We have some markets that continue to behave you know, very well on a year-to-year basis. You know, overall, and I'm going to talk about you know, point of sales. South America, you know, performing very well. Europe as a whole, domestic Colombia, North America's point of sale as well. They've been very resilient. There are two markets now talking about flight regions that we've seen a drop. One is Mexico, okay? And the other one, and again, it's a relative drop because it continues to be a profitable market for us, was Central America to North America when you compare on a year-to-year basis.
Mm-hmm.
And my answer to your question is that basically we've been optimizing our capacity within Central America. For instance, you will see that we announced a couple of cancellations recently that we are using to deploy in routes that we continue to be to see a good demand. An example is we're canceling Managua Fort Lauderdale, but we are increasing one frequency between El Salvador and JFK.
Right? Mm-hmm.
So in Central America, we see it more as optimizing the capacity we have there, but overall continues to be it's not the party that was last year, but we continue to see a profitable performance.
And Mike, again, what we need in terms of revenue to make a flight work is different from our competitors, right? I mean, at our CASK, because you know, it's worth pointing out, right? We've managed to keep CASK, you know, pretty flat now for over 3 years running, right? And so, you know, as other people have sort of inflated away from us, that just continues to give us a bigger and bigger advantage. So we don't need, you know, I mean, just look at the quarter we delivered with a sub 80% load factor, right, across the network, right? We don't need load factors that are that high or yields that are that high to make those markets work for us.
Very good. Thanks, everyone.
Just to ask, the only thing that changed, you know, since the last time we spoke in terms of that, you know, performance or in terms of sales, is that, as Nico mentioned, we saw an increase in advanced purchase. So people, you know, last year we mentioned it a couple of times that our AP was shrinking.
Yep.
And over the last 2 months and a half, we saw a very marked trend where our AP, you know, started to grow. And not just on the, you know, typical long haul where you see, you know, longer APs, but also in markets like domestic Colombia. That was something that we saw as a marked change since the last time we spoke.
Fred, since you brought that up, could I just ask how, like, what percent of your fourth quarter, your December quarter, would be booked at this point in time, given the lengthening of the booking curve?
Sorry, can you repeat?
Oh, did you ask me to repeat that?
What load factor would we be seeing?
Well, what percent, yeah, of your fourth quarter would be booked now?
For the fourth quarter, it's still very low. I'll answer you with something, you know.
Okay.
I'll give you another a data point. For September, for instance, now we have about a third of our bookings. Okay.
September,
it continues to go down. However, if you compare that AP on a year-to-year basis, it's significantly increased.
Okay. Super helpful. Thank you.
Your next question for today is from Chris Reed with BNP Paribas.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. Thanks for your time. Congratulations. Really great quarter. Want to ask you about the network optimization out of Colombia into the international markets. This has been going on for about a year. Could you explain to us, you know, how much longer this duration will be for this optimization? And then can you also talk about the maturation of these new routes, if it's getting quicker for them to become profitable, and then anything around that, you know, might be of use to us?
Sure. Let me address the first one, and I'll ask Fred to address the second one. Look, I think most of the reshuffling out of Colombia and into the international market is done, right? I'll remind people, and the math is weird, right? But if you go back, and that's why Fred had a slide saying, you know, we haven't increased departures, right? In order to take capacity out of Colombia, we needed more planes, because each plane that's flying out of Colombia needs to fly more kilometers, right? So most of the redeployment required the aircraft that have delivered over the last two quarters, and so to a large extent that's done. You'll see little adjustments here and there. We've partnered with a local carrier that flies ATR to fly some capacity, but for the most part it's done. What you're seeing now is really, you know, because the ASK growth itself has been large. Now the network is at lower load factors than we'd like it to be, and you're going to see that capacity absorb. You know, I was asked in the last call how long we thought it would take, and we said 12 to 18 months. We continue to think that that's the case, right? The trend in this quarter might lead you to the shorter end of that, but there's enough volatility in the world that I'm not sure we can commit to that, right? So, but that's sort of what you should expect, right? On the new ramp up,
on the ramp up, and with all the disclaimers, you know, the usual disclaimers about, well, uncertainty. Following up on Adrian's, we crossed our 80% load factor in June. The third quarter, we expect something around 81 to 82%, right? And then those routes, I think they changed a lot between. In terms of how fast, in terms of the profile of the route, I'll you know, their routes were longer stage lengths, normally takes more to for that ramp up, But on the other hand, we have some exceptions. I'll give you another one, which is we opened Cordoba, and Cordoba behaved very well, right? And quickly, or Tampa. We've seen others, going back to one that we opened last year, which was Paris, that took longer to fill up. But overall, I would say that they are behaving as we were expecting, right? And we should continue to see that positive trend on a quarter-by-quarter basis that you guys are seeing.
Great. Thank you very much. Appreciate your help.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. Your next question for today is from Bob Terra at Terra Capital Partners.
Hey guys, congrats on the quarter. I was just curious, particularly on sort of, some of the other people alluded to it, but just sort of some of the capacity growth and kind of the yield trade-off. It seems like this quarter you kind of saw a nice sort of stabilization. You're still growing capacity 13%, kind of low mid-teens, but, you know, like you noted, yield actually came up on a stage length adjusted basis, and you're seeing a nice increase in average fares. I guess I'm just curious kind of, how that sort of translates into, you know, going forward capacity growth plans. You know, you're seeing some of your competitors highlight weakness as you grow on their routes, causing kind of their yields to decrease. And right now, though, given sort of your margins and your EBITDA growth, it seems like it still is the right trade-off. But at what point do you, I guess, how do you conceptually, strategically, how are you thinking about sort of, you know, when you grow capacity on those international and domestic routes competing with your peers, low-cost peers, that trade-off over time, how you see that continuing to evolve? Thank you.
Sure. Now, look, I mean, strategically, the way we think about it is just to be blunt, right? We grew more than we would have liked to over the last couple months, right? We needed to. Remember that the whole movie starts with, you know, increase in declared capacity in Colombia, us taking our fair share of slots to be defensive, us using the aircraft we had to fill those slots, which meant we brought them into the domestic market so they could turn many times, and then us taking additional aircraft then to redeploy that capacity into longer stage lengths. So all of that movie ultimately means, you know, we grew faster than we'd like to. What we hope is that, you know, the fact that we're being disciplined about filling that capacity and pricing it correctly instead of chasing our own tail to fill the seats when we don't need to, sort of, you know, turns into more rationality in the market broadly, right? So the way we think about it is, you know, we want to fly the network at, you know, 80, mid-80s load factors. It's not there. We want to fill those extra seats. We want that to be upside and be incremental revenue, not to be dilutive to the current fares. And, you know, that capacity is already there. Our competitors can see it. It would be irrational for them to, you know, overfly it. So you know, it's a nice position for us to stake out. And as demand grows over the next, if we said, you know, now, I guess, doing the math correctly, 9 to 15 months, we should see that capacity, you know, get absorbed and the seats fill up. Our cost advantage allows us to not be desperate about filling it out, right? Filling it up. And that's why, again, you know, we put ourselves in this position that we think is great. Time will prove us right or wrong, but we put ourselves in this position where we think we're the ones sort of setting the rhythm on capacity, and then as long as we're rational on fares, other people should be incented to follow. They don't have a cost advantage vis-a-vis us. So what all of that comes together with is you should expect us to, you know, ramp down the pace of growth a little bit and allow this to fill itself up before you see us sort of springing forward. Is that helpful?
Yeah, thank you so much.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. We have reached the end of the question and answer session, and I will now turn the call over to Adrian for closing remarks.
Thank you, operator. Thank you. Thank all of you for joining the call. Thank you all again for the support that you've given us as you've followed our story over the last few years. Now, this is another quarter where I think we're delivering on the plan that we set forth. We're executing on a story that really excites us, which is expanding margins and reducing leverage. And we hope to continue delivering and earning your confidence. So thanks again, and we'll talk to you in another 3 months.
This concludes today's conference, and you may disconnect your lines at this time. Thank you for your participation.